Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations tonight. It's a pleasure to welcome once again to the program a man that has been on many, many times in the past. We always look forward to him coming back. Very well educated, particularly in the line of films and what's going on in the movies. Of course, I'm talking about the one and only George Marshall. Welcome back, George.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be back.
It's we're doing this via Zoom. George is in his home in Beverly Hills. Or you're not in Beverly Hills. Where are you?
No, I'm in Newport, Rhode Island, actually.
Well, that could be as impressive to a lot of people, actually.
In Beverly Hills.
Right, you know. But we are doing this via Zoom, so excuse a little bit of difference in the volume of voices and so forth. But we put up with these things and we get used to them. And it's good to see you, even though I'm looking at you through the computer. And knowing that you're all well and well-groomed, too.
Well, thank you. yesterday, we actually broke down and used some clippers I purchased through the mail, and my hair got cut first time since February. So I look like I came out of Tom Hanks's film Castaway. Only thing I did not have was that ball. But
Wilson.
Having said that, now I'm clean cut for the duration.
There you go. Well, I'm glad to see that you're doing fine. And we brought you back this time of year. Happy New Year, by the way.
Thank you. Same to you.
I'm sure that 2021 is going to be much better than 2020.
2021 has the makings for being a very good year. If you look historically, you'll see that after a major trauma like a pandemic, what happened in 1918 through 1920, it became a renaissance. You'll find that people, after being confined and restricted, started doing a lot of creative things that they would not normally do. People traveled more. People started undertaking their so-called bucket lists. It was a major time of change. I mean, think about the so-called roaring 20s.
Sure.
A lot of things happened that were good during that period after the pandemic. And I think we're going to see the same type of reaction given what we've been through recently.
Well, it's something to look forward to, and something I certainly know that a lot of people are anxious about, and we're getting closer every day, as they say. But
yes,
the movies never stopped. They've changed, like a lot of things.
They adapted. Movies adapted. And the same thing as we've adapted. I mean, what we're doing right now, I'm not in the studio with you. But on the other hand, we're able to do this live. We couldn't do this 10 years ago.
Right.
And the technology has been a major lifesaver as far as how we interact with one another. I know for Thanksgiving, we did Thanksgiving Zooms with our friends. We saw more people on Thanksgiving than we normally do. They got to see our meal. We got to see their meals, and we just caught up. Same thing with Christmas.
Yeah.
We couldn't do that, again, 10 years ago.
Right.
So I think what movies did, they adapted to the situation. And while there have been some screenings in theaters, the traditional manner, it's been spotty. And that's because of safety requirements. Movie theaters are not the safest place for people to be. Particularly when it comes to a virus that circulates in the air.
Right.
It's aerosolized. Right. So streaming has become the mainstream. And if you've noticed recently, Warner Brothers changed its distribution pattern, opting instead of using movie theaters, using streaming mechanisms. So, for example, in 2020, Christmas Day, we saw the release of Wonder Woman online through HBO Max.
Right.
Now, you could go to the theater and watch it as well, and people did. It did great box office for this time of year and for the situation we're in. But the thing that's cool about this is that there's a continuity thread. Yeah, of course the films cost a lot of money. And putting them online is not going to make the same money that you're going to make at a movie theater. There's no question. I mean, you look at a film like Tenet that came out mid-year, September. Tenet took in over $300 million worldwide. That film would have been $1 billion last year in 2019. It cost over $200 million to make because of the special effects.
And there's a formula for that, right? You and I were talking before we went on the air.
If you look at the box office, what you really need to do is double the production cost, because the box office itself has to be divided among a number of players. It's the exhibitors that get it, not just the distributors. So whoever is running the movie, whether it's Showcase or Regal or AMC in this country, they would get a piece of that gate. So when you look at box offices, it's deceiving. $1 billion means you're really looking at $500 million. And so, I mean, I'm just simplifying it. But
right.
So the films did not quite make their money back, which then, of course, brings you down to, okay, are you going to be making these big box office films in the future if you can't make your money back? So what we've seen this year, what we saw in 2020, were a slew of smaller independent films that went into the streaming market, and they changed a lot of stuff. If you look at the top films for the year that came out, you'll find that a good chunk of them are small indie films, films like The First Cow and Nomadland. There's a number of stuff you might not have even heard of, but you will over time as it gains traction and distribution. The Academy Awards, they were smart. They moved them back till April. They will have something, but we don't know at this point whether April is going to be live Academy Awards or virtual Academy Awards, as we are doing with this program right now.
Right. Well, let's get a little music into the program and start with one of the first ones you mentioned, Wonder Woman, and that came out Christmas Day, I believe, right?
Yep, it did. And actually, it's interesting because it's Wonder Woman 84, WW84. And it's intriguing because it reunited some of the cast members, notably Chris Pine. And what's cool about this, it's directed by a woman, Patty Jenkins, and it's a feel-good movie. The critics have been pretty kind to it, and the music that I have for you is actually the opening sequence. It's called Themyscira. It's a short piece, but it really gives a flavor for the film and the time that it represents.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see Wonder Woman. I almost saw it on Christmas Day, but couldn't get my Fire Stick for HBO Max working properly. It took me a whole nother night, but now I'm in good shape, so I'll get that out there and watch that.
I get HBO Max on my computer here.
Okay.
So what I found was that with an HDMI cable, I could plug it into my TV.
Right.
And watch it that way. So it looks good. But the issue that I haven't solved yet is getting the sound there. The HDMI does not carry sound. It's just visual.
Oh. Well, so, I purchased a new set of headphones to watch television with. And I can't tell you, it's like a new world. It's like when you hear somebody that was blind and they can see. Yeah. The amount of difference it makes in watching regular television volume to putting that headset on, it's incredible.
Well, I have earbuds, so it's comparable.
Mm-hmm.
They're Apple earbuds, and it just blocks everything out.
Right, right.
And the problem is, of course, if someone's calling you or they want you and you can't hear shit.
that's the comment when my wife and I are watching a movie. And she'll say, "Oh, I remember her from such and such," and I see her lips moving, but I have no idea what she's saying. You know?
Yeah, same deal. I keep getting the line, "I need new batteries for my miracle ear." That's what I get at home all the time.
Well, there you go. Another movie you mentioned in that opening comment was Tenet. Tell us about this one.
Well, Tenet, directed by Chris Nolan, was a much anticipated film for 2020. And, of course, because of the pandemic, it kept being pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. As a matter of fact, a lot of films were pushed back, including the newest Daniel Craig James Bond, to the point where we actually saw a good chunk of the films put into 2021. Chris Nolan thought that his film was going to be the film to reopen movie theaters. And, of course, as we saw the trajectory of the pandemic over the summer, it was a little roller coaster of highs and lows. And it looked like at one point that we might be getting back to some sense of normal. And so they decided to schedule the film, and they released the thing on September 3rd. Unfortunately, we had some spikes, and a lot of movie theaters ended up being closed and or having restrictions as far as how many people could go inside. Even though the theaters themselves did a lot of changes from air control to seating and doing as much PPE as they could, people did not go back to the movies theaters as anticipated. So, as I mentioned previously, Tenet drew in over $300 million in the box office worldwide, China being one of the highest locations for the film's distribution and people watching it. Of course, China's in a different situation than we are, as a lot of other countries. I mean, for example, if we went to New Zealand right now, you could walk around without a mask and everything would be hunky-dory. But it's 4 million people, and they're very restrictive in terms of who can come in and how they control the virus.
Right.
So, I mean, that's apples and oranges. But Tenet did okay business for the time that we're in. It did not make the money it probably should have made, but it's a great story, and it follows the same type of mind-bending approach that Chris Nolan has taken with other films, not just Interstellar, but Inception. And Tenet kind of follows in the same thing, dealing with time travel. And the track that we're going to be playing for you, called Inversion, is very typical of the type of film that I'm talking about. I mean, it really reflects and enhances the tone of this mind-blowing film.
All right, we'll listen to that, then take a short break, and we'll be back with more of George Marshall. We are back on Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, having a very pleasant evening, speaking to my good friend and longtime movie expert, George Marshall. And George is the executive director of the Rhode Island International Film Festival, as well as the organization called Flickers, which is kind of one and the same.
One produces the other.
One produces the other. The chicken or the egg.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Flickers has been around since 1981. Actually, we're now in our 39th year. And it started as the Newport Film Society. And what's interesting for me is that it was created because we couldn't find art and foreign films in our community. And we became our own resource. Instead of traveling to Boston or New York, we just literally brought in films to our community. And of course, times have changed with cable coming in and stuff like that. You've got access to things that we did not have access to when we started this in 1981. 1981 was a different period, to be honest with you. If you think about what our restrictions were, we didn't have cell phones. We really weren't playing with computers like we play with them today. We didn't have smartphones. Most people didn't have cell phones.
Right.
And in the scheme of things, on a timeline, it's just, you know, it's like a blink. It's not that long that we've had all of this stuff that we're dealing with in technology.
Well, so it's an amazing time, and times continue to change. And we talked a bit about that in the first segment. This next movie that you have on the list, I'm not familiar with at all. It's called Soul. Tell us about this one.
It's a Disney Pixar film, and if you watched any of the Pixar films, you know they tend to be rather deep, even when they're aimed for children. There's a lot of texture. There's a lot of things going on that you would not expect. I mean, think of Toy Story 3, for example, which left almost everybody crying at the end of the film, regardless of age. This piece picks up on Inside Out and deals with the afterlife and the before life. It's much more textured, and I'm just simplifying it, but it deals with a jazz musician and his passion, how he got that passion, and it's got a lot of texture to it. It's an amazing piece. It's currently on Disney Plus, and it's something that I think released in the theaters would have done amazing box office. We'll see where it goes as far as the streaming, but the film by Pete Docter is just an exceptional piece and highly recommended. I think I can forecast safely that it will be one of the Oscar nominations for 2021.
Wow. All right. Let's listen to this piece called Born to Play. Well, George, you're making me put things down on my must-watch list, and so I have things that I'll be watching over the next several weeks. which I think a lot of people have been doing, sharing, hey, did you see such and such? I watched this series or that series, or this was on Netflix, or this was on Prime or Disney Plus. And it is a different time. We're watching more.
We are watching more. And what's intriguing is discovering how streaming services work. Even our festival, which we called a hybrid festival, which we completed in August of this past year, that had components of online and drive-in movie screenings. We did our sci-fi festival in October, same deal. It was a combination of drive-in and hybrid online. And what shocked us, I mean, it really shocked us, was the amount of views, which is how you calibrate. It's not a question of box office and how much money you make. It becomes how many people watch this stuff, viewers. And the main festival this year had over 48,000 views, which was a shock. That many people, and this was globally because we didn't geo-block it. We had over 20,000 for the Vortex Festival, which is obviously more than we would get if it was live.
Sure.
And we're currently doing programming with the Department of Commerce dealing with the COVID-19, films that were made by people dealing with COVID-19. That's currently online now. People can catch that on our website. And that, at this point, as we talk, that's had more than 6,000 views in a two-week period.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, it's just, yeah, the numbers are staggering when you start to see these things. I've had some former YouTube things that were out there, and for the, you know, first year there was 300,000-400,000 hits, and then all of a sudden I've got friends calling me up saying, you realize that it's over 2 million hits on that YouTube thing that was out there that you did, you know, that kind of thing.
Well, I mean, if you consider too, a lot of people have made their livings doing YouTube videos almost on a daily or weekly basis. These folks are making six-figure salaries if they have followings that YouTube determines are significant. We call them influencers now, which is a new word in our lexicon. And it's just kind of fascinating because you get into the nitty-gritty of people's lives and their opinions, people that you would never know or never meet, but technology has brought them closer and into our homes.
All right, let's get back on track with this one. Another one that I haven't seen, I probably should, Mulan.
Mulan, which came out in September, same time as Tenet. And again, one of those films that was a big budget that was supposed to be one of the tentpole films for 2020, and it was kind of mixed in terms of how people responded. Again, it was the pandemic affected this. It did okay business in China, not great, and Disney tried some experimentation, charging $30 a pop for people to watch it on Disney Plus. It's now available for free on Disney Plus, but when it first opened, it was a premium production. And they tested the market to see how it would do and how that technology would play out. And I think it did pretty well. This is, of course, a live-action version of the classic cartoon that Disney released many years ago. And so the music is different. The tone is different. There's no singing here, per se, though they do repeat some of the songs from the original animated version at the end credits, in Mandarin, no less, Reflection being one of the songs that was very popular from the original production. This music that we're going to be listening to is by Harry Gregson Williams, and the track that we're going to be opening up is called Ancestors, and it's at the top of the film.
Thank you.
George, I'm going to ask you to get to this next movie rather quickly so we can get the music in. It's called Emma.
Yeah, the film was released in February, just before everybody went into lockdown. And it's a lovely retelling of the Regency era film piece about Emma Woodhouse. And it's just one of these charming pieces that is filled with trifles that just hold your attention. It's currently on HBO and a lot of other streaming services. The piece we're going to be listening to by Isabel Waller Bridge is called Emma Woodhouse, and it's the title theme for the film.
We'll listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more. Conversations is the name of the program. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with George Marshall, talking about films of 2020 and the successes and the changes and what we might expect in the future. We have a couple more films to talk about. The first one is actually, I guess, a series called The Queen's Gambit. That's I did watch this one, so I'm with you on this one.
This is great. I mean, we're not talking about the traditional films that you and I have discussed in the past. We're looking at the changes that have occurred in viewing habits. And since we're not in theaters as we used to be, we're now streaming things on our television and our computers and our smart devices. And this piece here, which just got a lot of critical acclaim in October, it features solid performances. It's set in the Cold War era, and it deals with an orphan chess prodigy. And it takes you places you don't expect to be taken. So the piece that I have is simply the main title, which gives you a flavor for not just the production values, but the thematics of the piece as well.
We'll be right back. Queen's Gambit was that last piece we just listened to, and now I'm on a roll because I've also seen this next production, or at least a portion of it, Mandalorian.
Yeah, which is a Disney Plus popular film. It's been a huge hit, this series. Directed by Jon Favreau, or directed and created by Jon Favreau, who you might remember from the Iron Man movies. The piece itself that we're going to be listening to is near the end. So spoiler for those who have not watched the last episodes, you might recognize just through the music, the characters that are going to be presented on screen. And I'm not going to go too much deeper into that, but the composer...
Because I haven't seen the end yet, so, you know.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give it to you.
All right.
But Ludwig Göransson, who does the music here, who also did Tenet that we played earlier in this show, Ludwig Göransson goes outside of his own wheelhouse here and replicates a couple themes from John Williams, which will be recognizable for those that are fans. And I'm not going to say any more other than the fact that you can start putting the pieces together of what's actually happening on screen by listening to the music. The Mandalorian lead character is played by Pedro Pascal, who also plays the villain, kind of villain, in Wonder Woman 84. I say kind of because it depends on your interpretation of how the character redeems himself at the end. So, yeah, this is called simply Open the Door, and this is from The Mandalorian.
Thank you.
review of movies from 2020. And George, I can't thank you enough. As usual, I ask you to come on the program, and you are very kind to do so and give me all kinds of information, all kinds of background information, and come very well prepared and always more than we need or have time for. But we're skipping a few movies, and I thought it might be interesting that you had added Bridgerton and his Dark Materials, which two of the things we're not going to get to talk much about. Anything you want to say about those two?
No, other than the fact that, again, our entertainment values have changed a lot during the pandemic, that we're watching a lot more things that we might have just passed over. I think it's exciting that there's so much creative work out there that we're discovering. It's changed, I think, it's changed things for people of how they plan and how they put, where they put their time in. And so I think, you know, Bridgerton is a wonderful piece. I frankly would probably bypassed it last year. But because of the pandemic, I discovered something that was really quite a treasure. And his Dark Materials, based on the novels, the three novels by Philip Pullman, it's just an interesting piece that's evolving and becoming stronger as the series progresses. It closed last week on HBO. And if you haven't seen it, watch both part one and part two, because the series grows and is quite sensational. And where it ends next year, and they're going to go into production in January, February for the next edition, I think is going to be quite solid. Something I wouldn't have looked at otherwise. And now, because of the situation, I'm discovering things that are just quite treasures, right? Quite frankly.
Absolutely. I've been doing the same thing and trying to catch up and trying to stay, as we mentioned earlier in the program, with what friends recommend or what's, did you see this yet? And I'm always, I have a piece of paper in my pocket, because whenever I talk to somebody, it seems that that's where the subject goes. Did you see this yet? Did you see that yet? So it is different, but we're making it through. We have one more film to talk about tonight, and that's called Onward. Tell us about this one.
Well, this film was released March 10th, which was not good timing for this film.
And like again, the day was, of almost.
Like the day of, yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I did not see it in the theater when it came out, which I wanted to do. We had planned on going and backed off, given the fact we went into lockdown. And I eventually got a Blu-ray of it much later down the road, which is how we saw the film. So we didn't do the streaming. We actually watched the Blu-ray, turned the surround sound on, and knocked our socks off. But this is a Disney Pixar film, which uses the voices of Tom Holland and Chris Pratt and Julia Louis-Dreyfus. It's a nice piece. It's a very sentimental piece. And what I love about this is that it has such an up-tempo, positive, family-oriented message. So the music we're going to close with is called Magic Returns. And I think nothing could be more apt than the fact that magic will be returning in 2021. We just have to be patient, as we have been, and it will be coming. And I'm excited by that. And I'm looking forward to how we have all changed and evolved and grown from this past experience.
Well, George, I look forward to the time where I can have you once again in the studio in a nice, safe situation. And I'm glad that you and yours have made it through this without too much inconvenience. And again, your hair looks terrific.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm waiting for it to grow out now.
All right, there you go. All right, we're going to listen to this, and then we'll see you all next time on Conducting Conversations.
Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.